Good evening, everybody. How are y'all doing? Fine and dandy, wonderful, good. Everyone get a nice nap? No? Oh, got a yes? Well, that's good. That's good that you got a nap. Partial nap, that's even better. Well, glad to see you all here this evening. So I'm going to stand, turn to page 270 in the hymnal. 270. 270. Just as I am. Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and fears within, without, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, poor wretched and blind, sight rich is healing of the mind. Yea, all I need in thee to find, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, thou wilt receive, wilt welcome, pardon, cleanse, relieve, because thy promise I believe, O Lamb of God, I come.
That one's a good song. It's a little slow. I didn't want to put y'all to sleep, but 174. Another little bit of a slower song. My Jesus, I love thee. 174.
My Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. For thee, all the follies of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior art thou. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. I love thee because thou hast first loved me, and purchased my pardon on Calvary's tree. I love thee for wearing the thorns on thy brow. If ever I love thee, Jesus, 'tis now. I'll love thee in life, I will love thee in death, and praise thee as long as thou lendest me breath.
and say when the death dew lies cold on my brow, if ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. In mansions of glory and endless delight, I'll ever adore thee in heaven so bright. I'll sing with the glittering crown on my brow, how if ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now.
Amen. You may be seated.
All right. Well, tonight's sermon's going to be short. Oh, man. I feel like everybody got some hard preaching this morning. So tonight is not that. We're going through Genesis, and you know, I get some of these genealogies, and I don't know, they're kind of boring, and so you just sometimes want to blow through them. But I saw something in here, I've never seen it before, in Genesis chapter 25, starting in verse 12, and it's going through Ishmael's genealogy and his kids and what they became and their nations and what came of their families. And I saw something I haven't ever seen before. But it really shows a difference in mentality from a godly family and a worldly family, and it shows that this different mentality really affects how people live their lives, their perspective on life. Let's see. I heard a pastor say this week. He said, you know, if you take maybe you're starting a church somewhere, or you're assuming the role of pastor somewhere, and he was kind of not really getting onto the guys, but trying to give them a mentality about things. And he said, you know, if you would just put it in your mind, I'm going to be here for a long time, it would affect how you address problems in a church. It would affect how you handle situations, because really, if you're in it for the long haul, there are some decisions you'll make, and there are some decisions obviously you won't make. And if you give yourself the out to just kind of cut bait and run, I mean, people do that in their marriages. It's like, well, maybe I'll just give it up. But if you don't have that mentality, like, giving it up isn't an option. It's just not an option. So we got to figure this out. And so your perspective on life really affects how you live life, obviously. So I saw this in Ishmael's genealogy. So really, you saw all that in Ishmael's genealogy? Sort of. It's kind of like that. But in Genesis chapter 25, verse 12, it says, now these are the generations of Ishmael, Abraham's son, whom Hagar the Egyptian, Sarah's handmaid, bare unto Abraham. And these are the names of the sons of Ishmael by their names, according to their generations. The firstborn of Ishmael, Nebajoth, and Keter, and Adbeel, and Mibsam, and Mishma, and Duma, and Massa, Hadar, Tema, Jeter, Naphish, Kedema, These are the sons of Ishmael, and these are their names by their towns and by their castles. 12 princes according to their nations. Now, keep verse 16. That's sort of the critical verse here. And these are the years of the life of Ishmael, 137 years. And he gave up the ghost and died and was gathered unto his people. And they dwelt from Havilah unto Shur, that is before Egypt, as thou goest toward Assyria. And he died in the presence of all his brethren. So you're going from, again, Genesis, you're covering a lot of ground fairly quickly. We're moving from Abraham and his children, Isaac, Ishmael, telling you a little bit about Ishmael, and then he's going to go focus on Isaac, because that's the one, like we talked about last week, that's going to be the focus of that God watches, this family, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and then the souls that come out of Jacob. So I got one simple point tonight, and it's found in verse 16 of what we read, and I'll give you 5 minutes to figure it out. So, no, I'm just kidding. Let's pray. And then I'll tell you. Father, thank you so much for this time together. I pray that you would feed your flock tonight. I thank you for the souls that are here. I know several are out. I do lift up the Waple family, that you'd minister to them and give them comfort. And again, thank you for your words. Thank you for something we can put our trust in. Thank you for Jesus Christ. Thank you for salvation in Jesus Christ. Thank you for righteousness in Jesus Christ. Thank you for the Holy Spirit of God. And I pray that you'd help us tonight with this simple lesson. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So after reading this genealogy a couple times, it's kind of like, well, all right, so that's the people that came out of Ishmael. That's nice. I don't really know what to do with that. But I kept reading it, and then I saw something in verse 16, and it was a contrast. And it said in verse 16, these are the sons of Ishmael, and these are their names by their towns, by their castles, 12 princes according to the nations. So we'll treat this like a little Sunday school class. Anybody remember what Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob live in throughout their lives? What do they live in? Tents. Live in tents. You know what Ishmael's children did? They build palaces. You know why people build palaces? Because this is their home. This is where they are. This is their life. Their whole life is here. It's in this world. So I read this. These are the sons of Ishmael. These are their names by their towns. So they name their towns after themselves. By their castles. 12 princes. 12 princes. That's political. These guys, I mean, they're fully invested in this life. They want the government. They want their homes here. This is where their life is. And it made me think of Genesis chapter 26. Look in Genesis chapter 26, verse 17. And there's other verses, but this one came the closest to this one. So Ishmael's kids, they build castles, palaces. They're princes. That's political structure. They name their towns after themselves. And so their life is wrapped up here. And then I read about Isaac. I read about Abraham. And here's what it says about Isaac, Genesis 26, 17. And Isaac departed thence and pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar and dwelt there. I thought, you know, that is a difference, that is a contrast in somebody's mentality about this life. So somebody has, one family has made this world their home. Another family doesn't expect this world to be their home. They wander around. They're not going to set up anything permanent here. In fact, they're going to follow the Lord's leading until the Lord, you know, until they die. And that means I'm not going to tie myself down to any particular thing. I want to be free to go where God wants me to go. And so I'm thinking, you know, these two families that came out of Abraham, Isaac, Ishmael, that they are these family trees, as the family tree splits, you got one family that, at least at this point in the family, is wandering, sojourning, and this is not their home. They're looking for a city, the Bible says. I'll show you in Hebrews how he describes all this. Then you've got another family that they make their home in this life. And this is all they got. And this is what they have. They build their castles. They get in their politics. They become princes. They become governors over people. And this is what they have. Ishmael's kids, they're like I said, political leaders. While Isaac is characterized as he's a shepherd, he's a sojourner. And I thought, you know, that mentality on life would affect so many decisions that people make. That if this is all I have, it's probably going to affect my joy. It's probably going to affect my expectations. It's probably going to affect the decisions I make. Whereas if I'm looking to the Lord and I'm looking for something else, that's also going to affect my joy. It's also going to affect my hope, my expectations. It's also going to affect the decisions I make in this life. And so I don't point this out necessarily to say that you should just be wandering around. That's not the point of this. But the point is your perspective and what you believe about God and what you believe about God's promises and what you believe about heaven, hell, all those things, those have a real effect on the things you do, and so in the decisions you make. And so probably that's the reason for some people's confusion when they hear someone say that they're a Christian or they believe the Bible, and they're just like, what part of the Bible do you believe? You seem to act like everyone else acts, and you do the same things and you make the same decisions, and like this guy's making the same decisions you're making, and you claim to believe the Bible and be a Christian and serve God, but like, where do you serve God? What is the difference? The point is, if you believe these things, like Isaac believes, he believes that God is going to guide him to wherever he's supposed to go. He's looking for a city that it's New Jerusalem. I mean, that's the ultimate, that's the city, as opposed to Ishmael's family. And these guys aren't looking for anything. They're satisfied where they're at. We're going to build our palaces here. This is our home, and we're going to make it as best our home as we can make it. And we're going to fill it with stuff, and we're going to make sure we're in charge of things. We're going to be the government. We're going to eat, drink, be merry. Tomorrow we die. That kind of thing. So let's look in Hebrews real quick. Hebrews chapter 11. I'll show you the Lord's interpretation of all this stuff happening here. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 9. This is talking about Abraham. It says, verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country. Isn't that interesting? The promised land was strange. There were people in it that God was eventually going to get out, or will eventually get out, but the promised land was occupied. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as a stranger in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Skip down to verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. That's what they're looking for. Abraham didn't build palaces, he lived in tents. Isaac didn't build a palace, he lived in a tent. And were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. That's a different view of life. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. So if they would have remembered where they came from, Abraham came from Ur of the Chaldees, and if he would have thought about Ur and thought, I ought to go back and try to fit in there, there would have been a place for him. But that's not how he thought. He didn't think he fit in there. Verse 16, but now they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly. Wherefore God's not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. Interesting. So I get it. I get that when the Jews leave Egypt, they take Egypt with them and they're very carnal and worldly and all that kind of thing. But at this point, this early stage of Abraham's family, this is their mentality of life, at least this side of Abraham's family. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, versus Ishmael, who is worldly, who is fully invested in this world, who builds his castles, he builds his palaces, and he doesn't plan on going anywhere. His whole life is going to be here. And I say that just to make a contrast, and it's probably something you already know, but I wanted to point this out to you because first of all, I had never seen this or never even thought about why God would say these people dwelt in castles versus this other family out of the same man who dwelt in tents. Why are they dwelling in tents and these guys are building castles? Why are these guys shepherds and these guys are princes? Well, the reason is pretty simple. These folks aren't planning on this being their home. These folks, this is their home. This is what they have. This is all they expect to have. And so they put everything into this life, this world, and whatever they can get out of this. And so that being said, it's important, the words are all important. And as I've said it before, it's just in Genesis, you're covering so much ground so quickly. The words that are used are very important because God's giving you some information that, he's not going to use. He's not going to explain in 1,000 words. He's going to give you one sentence on something, and this sentence is important, and it explains everything God wants you to understand about this particular event or time or whatever. So that being said, that's the point. You've got a family that is their worlds apart. One is fully invested here. They build castles. They become princes. that they name their cities after themselves. Then you have this other family, the family that's of the promise, and they live in tents, and they're shepherds, and they sojourn, and they wander. It's like, what that is, that's a Christian's life. That's what that is. It's a stranger and a pilgrim in a world that's not their world. It's not your world. It's not my world. It's we're not home here. We're looking for a city. Just like Abraham, you're looking for a city. Your expectation is there are better things than this life. God has made something better than this world. This world whose God is the devil is messed up. And it's messed up because of sin, and it's messed up because of us as people. And God has graciously, mercifully allowed sinners to at one point in time, and a future point in time, even some right now, but occupy a place in God's glory and in his heaven, his home, and all that kind of thing. So all that said, I guess we could just boil it down to kind of what I said at the beginning, that and you know this, your perspective on life, really, it affects what you build down here. It affects what you invest in. It affects how tied you are to this world. You know, if Ishmael's son, his castle burns down or whatever. I mean, just to use a dumb example, but if his castle gets broken down, that's going to be a substantial investment to fix that. But if Abraham's tent gets a hole in it or something, you know what? It probably gets another tent. And so the things are just not as important when you're not invested in this world. The stuff is just not as important. And I don't want to say don't be diligent with your stuff and things like that, and don't have good stuff and those kinds of things. But it really does show a mentality that when people are invested in this world, this is what they do. This is how they live. This is how they want to live. I don't know. I mean, the perspective on life, and I mean, even as I think of it as a pastor, and going back to that illustration that the pastor used, you know, if your investment, I understand it's not the world, but if God calls you to a place or to something, and that's been my mentality of being in Beeville, is I don't plan on moving anywhere. I'm not going anywhere. I don't plan on leaving. So when trouble arises or things happen, my mentality is it's not cut bait and run. It's you got to fix this. You got to deal with this. But if your mentality is, well, I have the option to just leave, well, then you're going to handle it a little bit different. You may not stick around a while. You may bounce around to different churches because it's just like, well, I don't have any investment here. I don't have any investment in God's work here. But the point is that mentality of I'm invested in God's work. That's Isaac. It's not Ishmael. But you just see these little, I don't know, these little nuggets of things, and God just makes these little comments. And it was interesting that he would say it that way. He would say, Ishmael, you know, packed up his tent and moved over here to Gerar. Whereas, I mean, Isaac packed up his tent and moved over here to Gerar, and Ishmael, well, they can't pack up their tent because they built palaces and they became princes. And they name their cities after themselves. Why? Because this is their home. This is where they live. And it'll be, you know, it'll be a shock whenever the Lord destroys the world and remakes the world and all that kind of stuff. But I think you get the idea. I thought that was kind of a cool little a little nugget in there. In this genealogy, you've got these comments made in contrast to here's what one family is doing because here's what one family's mentality is versus here's what this other family's doing because here's what their mentality is. They're looking for a city. They're not satisfied with just living in this world. They're waiting on God and they're looking for the promises of God. This family, they're not looking for any promises of God. They're not expecting anything from God. It's just, this is my world. I'm going to live in this world. I'm at home in this world. I'm going to set roots down in this world, and this is where I am. And it's one family, really, they're worlds apart. They're worlds apart in what they think about God, what they think about this world, and consequently, their decisions are worlds apart. Their perspectives are worlds apart, and so, anyhow, I thought it was kind of an interesting little nugget just tucked away in there in a little genealogy. I always think the genealogies are kind of boring, so I don't know what to do with them, but I thought that was kind of interesting that the Lord would mention those things. So I hope that's helpful to you, just a little contrast. Here's a godly family, or a family that's at least trying to follow the Lord. Here's what they do. Here's a family that's not trying to follow the Lord, and here's how they think, and here's what they do, and here's how they invest in this world. So it's a good contrast. It really is a good contrast. So I hope that's helpful. Let's pray, and then we'll go eat dinner. Father, thank you so much for this time. I pray it's been helpful. Just one little thing here that it really is a contrast. But I thank you for each soul that's here, for those that may be watching. Pray you'd bless them for watching. Those that are here, pray you'd bless them for being here. And I do thank you for your words. Thank you for salvation in Jesus Christ. I thank you for the food that you provided for us tonight. And I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You are dismissed.